Welcome to CII Podcasts.
Hello everyone and welcome to another interesting episode of the CII Podcasts. My name is Jayant Sriram and I'll be hosting this episode for you. Today we are here to discuss a very interesting topic, fostering innovation, spotlight on India's thriving tech ecosystem. Innovation stands as the cornerstone of progress, driving societies, industries, and economies forward into new realms of possibility. We know that the landscape of innovation is evolving rapidly, propelled by emerging trends and cutting-edge technologies. Let's delve into the dynamic realm of fostering innovation, exploring the latest trends and technologies that are reshaping the innovation landscape today with Sasha Wunsch-Vincent. He is the co-editor, Global Innovation Index and Head, Section, Economics and Statistics Division, World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva. Thanks so much for being here with us today, Sasha, and thank you for making time for us on the CII podcast.
It's a great pleasure, Jayant, to be with you and of course, all your Indian listeners. And you know that CII and WIPO, in particular on the Global Innovation Index, share a long common history. So I've been very privileged to see India evolve on this very important innovation front for more than a decade.
Thank you so much. We're really excited for the conversation ahead today. So the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, as I mentioned earlier, and you have been leading this comprehensive benchmarking tool, which is the Global Innovation Index, to assess and compare innovation capabilities and performances of countries around the world, GII. What has the progression been like?
Yes, so indeed, the Global Innovation Index has been published by the WIPO and partnered with Sumitra Dutta and some other academic outfits for a number of years and co-published by WIPO since 2021. And indeed, it's a benchmark of countries in terms of their innovation performance. So we have about 130 countries for which we present detailed innovation statistics and then provide them with a fair assessment of where they stand relative to other countries on innovation. Now, when we first got into this in 2011, I couldn't have dreamt of the uptake and impact this ranking would have had, in particular in India. So it seems that countries have very quickly moved beyond just considering it a one-off ranking and being excited about ups and downs, to actually considering it a very important tool to assess their innovation performance, to improve their innovation metrics, and really use it as a yardstick to improve. Just today and this week, you know, I had the visit about in person of about six different country delegations who all want to help their ministries use the GII to essentially coordinate, you know, government actions across the countries to perform better. So, you know, what more could one wish, you know, for such index in terms of its impact on innovation performance in such a diverse number of countries?
Yeah, thank you for that answer. I think that was a great overview. So, you know, just to, given that the index is a good measure, how can India leverage the GII framework to prioritize areas for investment and improvement? And what are the key emerging technologies that India should focus on? Are these some of the trends and areas that kind of emerge from this index?
Yeah, so I mean, first and foremost, countries have as a goal to put together a functioning innovation ecosystem, right? So as you've seen in the index, we have many different innovation actors and different innovation performance inputs and outputs which are being covered, right? So I think the most important issue is really to ensure the interplay of these innovation actors. Let me give you an example. India has fabulous research institutions and also fabulous management schools. So definitely the science and university system is working to perfection. Also, in, of course, educating brightest of the brightest for the next generations. But there is always a challenge. How can this knowledge of science and the knowledge that sits within universities better influence and be better leveraged by the private sector, right? So there's always this question, how can this interaction between private industry, which is of course hosted by CII, how can CII member companies better tap the knowledge of universities. It's just one out of many metrics in the GII, and so it's precisely about this interplay. Now, of course, then in terms of the future, I mean, the majority of countries is clearly interested in fostering the quality and quantity of their innovation outputs, right? Better patents, better new product and services, better high-tech exports, imports, software production, and then, of course, impacting the bottom line, which essentially is improved productivity in the country and essentially also lifting as many people out of precarious jobs into more knowledge-intensive jobs, and thus to create more sophisticated type of economy, precisely what we're seeing today in India. In terms of sectors, it's easy to say, well, it should be biotechnology, it should be space, it should be IT. Of course it should be, but if I learned one thing in my 2 to 3 decades on this topic, is that each and every sector has great potential for innovation, right? It can be mangoes, it can be coconut, it can be tea, it can be rubber, it can also be aerospace, IT, and health. But I think all of these various sectors are worthy of equal attention in terms of using innovation to drive the bottom line and to improve economic well-being across the economy.
Thank you. It's interesting to point out that, all sectors are worthy of looking at, in terms of like the potential for innovation. How can India ensure inclusive innovation, though, that benefits all sections of society?
I think, in fact, India has been an example, has always put innovation in rural and grassroots sort of areas as a center of priority. Sometimes I have the opposite problem, that lower middle income countries or low income countries think they need to prioritize innovation only in high tech sectors such as biotech and these other that I just mentioned. It is my humble assessment that in the case of India, innovation has always been perceived as something that is relevant to bridge rural and urban divides, to improve education in villages, access to water, sanitation. And so this term of grassroots innovation, in fact, emanates from India. And so for a very long time, we've grasped how to better measure this, right? Because we're very good at measuring innovation in R&D and in the high-tech sector. Innovation in rural and in other sort of settings is a key priority. And I think many countries can learn from India on how this has been done in your country.
Thank you once again. That's really interesting to hear you say that. Stepping away and broadening the discussion for a minute, are there any notable trends or changes in innovation performance among countries in recent years that you're able to track? And what factors really might be driving these trends?
Right. So of course, in terms of innovation performance, you have the usual old standing giants, right? Many of those are the United States, many of the European economies, and more recently, Japan and Korea. And then the question really is, what is happening in emerging economies and which countries are really making a difference? And on this front, we have a list of about 6 to 7 countries that over the most recent decade have made the most pronounced impacts and advancements. One is, of course, China, which is very close to the top 10 of the Global Innovation Index. And then those that follow are countries such as Turkey, India, very rapidly falling, Vietnam, the Philippines, and much further down the line, also Indonesia. You will notice that a lot of those countries that I just mentioned are in Asia, or in the case of Turkey, on the border of Europe and Asia. So there's a massive concentration countries which have accelerated the most. Of course, what do these countries do? First, they have innovation as a central economic growth priority, not only at the level of certain civil servants, but really at the top of economic policies and the government. So in the case of India, it is no surprise that this whole innovation journey is vested in the Prime Minister's office, and also Mr. Piyush Goyal, who has been the industry minister for a long time. So it's really a top government priority. And then beyond priority, it's a matter of systematically trying to measure the improvements, staying on the ball, correcting where innovation ecosystem elements fail, you know, being frank about it, and also then trying to innovate with new approaches. Some of these new approaches are not necessarily all borrowed from high-income economies, right? Sometimes it's not easy to just copy and paste from a high-income economy setting into a lower or, you know, a sort of emerging economy setting. Sometimes you have to innovate, and this is also something that we've seen quite massively, right, in terms of certain data innovations, IT platforms, certain innovation support schemes that are really innovative in India. So those are the three major points that I would like to make on this question.
Thanks so much. I think that's a really good overview. And just to kind of, you know, maybe slightly rephrase the question that I asked earlier, I mean, we spoke about how, you know, the sort of indications that the GII can give in terms of, you know, priorities for countries, but how can insights from the GII to inform their strategies for fostering innovation and economic growth?
Yeah, so I think two things. First, the GII, the prominence of the GII ranking, right, can really make sure that innovation stays a top government priority around the year, right? So this is one of the, there's two main goals, but this is the first. And what we've seen also is that the GII has accelerated interministerial, you know, or, you know, across the board sort of government coordination on innovation topics. And this is not a minor feat, in particular in a country as big as India, right? How to align different government policies, how to pull on one rope, essentially, in terms of the innovation pursuits and goals. And sometimes the GII has been a useful a useful unifying tool in this process, and in India is a good example. The second is, of course, you can use the GII as an analytical tool, right? So understand what innovation metrics is the country lacking, right? Imagine you invest a lot in R&D, but your R&D figures are very outdated or absent, right? It's a real pity you don't measure your own progress. The second, you can, of course, use the GII to identify your strengths and weaknesses, right? So, instance, India has certain strengths, such as ICT services exports that you are well aware of course. But then the GII also points to a number of other strengths in terms of the domestic industry diversification, you know, the graduates that India has in science and engineering. And so some of these strengths might not be as clear without this detailed data comparison that the GII allows and benchmarked against other countries. Of course, we also point by definition to a number of innovation system pillars and innovation areas in which countries do a little bit less well, right? And there, you know, these governments and study and glean some suggestions on how to improve. Sometimes they will ask, okay, what does a comparable country do to have a much better performance in this specific field? And then imitate possible policy measures in this other country. But for sure, it's a spotlight on these weaknesses, and where there is light, there is usually also activity, right? I mean, countries want to improve. So in that sense, those two elements bring the greatest boost, you know, to innovation through the GII.
Thank you. I think that was really well explained. And, you know, just moving on now from policymakers, how do businesses leverage the findings of GII to make strategic decisions for themselves and investments in innovation?
Yeah, so, I mean, first and foremost, I think businesses, including the Confederation of Indian Industry, I'm speaking in your name now, but as far as I understand from your leadership and the many years of collaboration, is that it's a tool to help industry keep innovation as a top priority in the country, right? So in India, that is now a done deal, right? So that is at the top of government, has been for a while top government priority. But in many other countries and economies, businesses deplore that innovation policies are maybe not as center stage as they should be. And there, I have seen businesses and industry associations use the GII in great detail to remind governments of the centrality of having sound innovation ecosystems and innovation policies in place, right? Because you don't want to, as a government, you don't necessarily want to look bad, right? And then businesses I have seen them use it to argue for certain improvements and for taking innovation as a core policy priority. And then, of course, businesses can use it in two additional ways. One is to identify the weaknesses of certain innovation ecosystems and then actually to try to improve them. Let's take the example of the use of intellectual property system, right? And to which extent businesses, so if you see, you know, a few years ago, I think it was fair to say that the business use of intellectual property in India was below average. And then, of course, there was an interrogation and questions were raised how this could be improved. And you've seen the phenomenal uptake and the surge in intellectual property filings use. And this is, of course, a business's giant, right? I mean, this is not only government entities. And so you see how specific GI innovation areas can give pointers to businesses, also in, you know, on finance, innovation finance issues, on high-tech issues, and many others, right? It's been a practical tool as well. Finally, something I didn't really expect, but the GII performance really contributes quite a lot also to the reputation, to the brand of the country on innovation matters, right? So if you rank poorly on innovation, then the world will see you through that lens. And some other countries have really rapidly ramped up their branding as an innovation nation, in part also through their increase in innovation performance in the GII. Right, so it's really key sometimes to signal also to the rest of the world and to investors how well you're doing, because then these investors will come, possibly research collaborators or other multinationals, private firms in other countries will want to partner with you. But if this happens under the radar in some sort of an invisible way, or if you don't have the reputation, you will probably not be invited to this innovation party either, right? So it's also a matter of branding. And many countries use the GII for that as well.
I wanted to get your thoughts on what does the future of innovation look like really, and how might an exercise like the GII evolve to capture emerging trends and technologies? You know, perhaps the big, over the last 2 years, you know, emerging trends and technologies, particularly led by AI, that's been a big theme. So how might the GII really evolve to capture these trends?
That's a great question. So I have tried to predict the future also to the similar extent as work with the GII and other innovation for a few decades as well. So it's never been easy. And I would tend to argue that it's become much harder today because the whole geopolitical and the speed of innovation and new innovation areas, but also the whole macroeconomic context, I think, is much more volatile, including geopolitically, as I said before, right? So I wouldn't claim that I know the future in any great detail or more than you, Jayant. But it's true that the GII has to, in this sort of context, be much more nimble than in the past, right? So I think it was quite okay for a number of years just to measure the researchers, the R&D, official R&D going in, official high-tech goods and exports going out. In the future, I think we have to be much more flexible in measuring new forms of innovation, which are more process and software-based innovations, much more nimble in measuring the quality of innovation inputs and outputs, right? So it's not good enough just to have more scientific papers, more startups, more patents, but it's about the good ones, right? And on that front, we have to be or get much better in terms of really understanding the commercialization of innovation, right? So, and actually the bottom line of innovation impacts on the business front, right? So that's really critical. There are a few tools that help. So of course, AI and all the big data approaches. So if, for instance, my team, you know, used to operate on very basic, with very basic spreadsheets and things like that, and very basic coding and software approaches, you know, just 10 years ago. And now we're looking at a team of data scientists, right, which are able to grasp big data and actually transform big data in much more rapid ways. And so you've seen in the GII that we increasingly also take more micro data entries, you know, into the GII, and then we're interested in expanding this. So, right, moving away from using data only from national statistical collections, which often take 3 or 4 years, right, to come out, to more live and on-demand data outputs. Finally, Jayant, if you allow me, so this is all, these points are all about high-tech sort of type innovation. And let me, you know, close the circle here back to one of your first questions. If you think grassroots innovation or social entrepreneurship, then invariably our usual metrics will not apply to this domain. But sometimes in these fields, and you know this better than me, the impact of simple new ways of doing business or new products and process, which can be quite basic, can have a dramatic impact, you know, in terms of road safety, in terms of nutrition of school children, sanitation of young girls and boys. So in on this front, our data apparatus is also not exactly fit for purpose. So on the one hand, we have to actually go high tech on new innovation indicators, right? Big data, AI, capture new innovation trends, new innovation sectors. But I would also say we have to pay much more attention to truly impactful innovation, more at the grassroots level. And for this, we need a whole new apparatus of indicators and metrics.
Thank you. And on that note, I think we'll end today's discussion. I'd like to thank you, Sasha, for joining us today for this conversation and for sharing your views and insights. I think that was a very thoughtful, interesting discussion that we had today. And thank you so much for sharing more about the GII. And we all look forward to how it evolves, as you mentioned.
Thank you, Jayant, for being a good moderator and chair, of course, and also really to Confederation of Indian Industry for their many long years of partnership, both with the Global Innovation Index, but also with the World Intellectual Property Organization. We have a little bit of more work to do together, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to CII Podcasts.